Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Book of John today, chapter 6. I'm going to talk about a message that God's put upon my heart called, You Are What You Eat. Let's see if we can just get through the scriptures today. How many of you guys eat right? How many of you guys did so this weekend? You guys have a good Thanksgiving, everybody? Yeah? Amen. Real good Thanksgiving. Amen. I believe that I could almost get everybody to the finish line if they were wise enough to eat right. If we were just wise enough to eat right all the time. So today's diet menu is going to come before your eyes today. I'm going to preach about that in just a second. But a lot of people say, "Well, I don't need a physical trainer. I don't need a coach. I don't need a mentor. I don't need anybody but myself." But I want to ask you: are you happy with your physical state today? As you've looked in the mirror, you're happy with your physical state, where you're at, or are you going to try to make some changes? Okay? Are you happy with Nebraska football right now? I think what I've heard through the grapevine is there's going to be some changes made, right? So you need a coach. The gym needs a trainer. The team needs a coach. The church needs a pastor. And four of his gifted friends to show up every once in a while, the fivefold ministry. Someone with more knowledge, experience, or spiritual giftings, a deeper calling or a compassion to all of our lives. We need that. We need Melissa Griffin to come in here and bring us to a place maybe we've never seen. In the Proverbs 31, I think she preached a message of revelation about that passage. And so we need that. Dan's an insurance guy. A lot of us need insurance, right? A lot of people buy insurance because they're just banking on the fact that something's going to go wrong, right? A lot of eternal optimists go and buy a lot of insurance. So they're playing the odds that things are going to fail. What about the medical profession? A lot of times we'll buy into whatever the doctor or our trusted health provider is going to tell us. But then there's times we've got to look a little bit higher, amen, and believe the report of the Lord. Amen? So life is up for most of us in the next 20 or 30 years. Life's going to, you sweep across, there's going to be a few of you guys going after about 20 or 30 years, but a lot of us are going to be slowing down in the next 20 to 30 years. Would you agree to that? So how are you going to spend the life that God gave you in that dash between your birth and your exiting this world? What's that dash going to look like? I'm praying that God puts this kind of, He puts a cross in that dash in between my life, and there's just an all-out attempt to preach Jesus, love Jesus, live for Jesus in this world. Amen. You guys too? That dash between your death, your life and your death on your tombstone, let's pray to God that that becomes a cross for all of us. Amen. And that's a crossroads for everything. But today I want to talk to you guys about being a message I'm going to call, You Are What You Eat. You are what you eat. Life's about the things we want. How bad do you want it is the question of the hour. It's all about money. How bad do you want money? You've got to hustle for it. How bad do you want fitness? Man, you've got to be so disciplined to get that body that you want, that sleek physique or whatever else, that beauty and health. But it's the same way in the spiritual, so to speak, and I want to show you this. Grace. How bad do you want grace? Tozer said, you can have as much of God in this life as you want. A.W. Tozer. You can have as much of God in this life as you want. I had a mentor named B.H. Clendenin. He was unsatisfied with his spiritual ministry. And at a time in his life when he said, I've got to get before the Lord, he just spent 30 days in a fast. I think he drank water during that 30 days. But he sought the Lord God, that God would expand the tent pegs, that God would reach more people, that he would. And after that time frame, Clendenin in the early, he was a pioneer of radio and TV, and he was on almost every radio and television station in this country. Out of that continued seeking of God, the School of Christ, which raised me and Sarah up in the faith, has gone into about 200 countries in the world. And I just want to say that because God can do so much if we will give ourselves to Him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How much of God do you want to show this generation? Yeah? How much of God do you want to manifest on this side of heaven? I mean, think about that. How desperately do you want to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? How close do you want to get to God on this side of eternity? Well, the Bible says to take your shoes off because you're going to be standing on holy ground. That's what He told to Moses. Amen. Let's ask for the Lord's Prayer. Father God, would You come and touch us? You have been with us all morning. This is a special morning, God. Father, let me only say what You want me to say this morning, Father God. And Father God, speak to the people in this room, Father God, that we know exactly what we need to be feeding on. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 27, I'm in the King James. I'm going to read that, and that'll be our text this morning. John 6, 27. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. And in the ESV it says this, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Don't labor for the things of this life. Don't put, but all your work and all your time and all your effort and all your energy and all your labor into things that are not eternal, things that are not going to be here. I know it says in the Bible, it says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. But what this is saying is not to make this the main or supreme object or desire of your life. In Matthew 6:25, it says this, take no thought for your life, what things you shall eat, what things you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Isn't life really worth more than what you have and the material possessions that you have and the comfort and the assurance and the insurances that you have? Isn't assurance more than insurance in the day and age in which we live? It should be. But the labor, it says, but labor for the meat which endures. That means that it supports, that nourishes, that strengthens us. Labor for the meat that is enduring. And I grabbed some of my little cans over here, and I showed Brett this earlier this morning. But there's all kinds of meat that we can get involved in. There's a little whey protein. Here's a little NOS blast. It's got creatine and arginine and a bunch of things that I can't really even pronounce. That's supposed to help build muscle and give you muscle mass and give you great energy and give you kind of a boost before you even get into your working out and your different programs. But God is saying you've got to go deeper here. Don't labor for those things, but labor for the things that will support and nourish and strengthen eternal life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's where we need to put it. And it's the doctrines of the gospel. It's the word of God that's going to support that. Our goal in life should be to be containers of the Creator and to lift this word of God and to be in it day and night and let the God of heaven and earth bear much fruit from our lives. Amen. For everlasting life. This is about strength. This is about muscle mass. This is about everything that we need, but we need to bring it into our spiritual life and start to flex the muscle of God. The church should be a spiritual gym for those wanting to be strong in God. And only the church, a real church, is equipped to train you up in the ways that you should go. Amen? The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So strength is only found in the Lord. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It's our power. It's everything we need. So, what are you eating on today? You are what you eat. My friend, Brother Clendenin, was in Africa. he was over there and he had preached a big kind of a mass meeting, and he was very disappointed with it because he saw about 87,000 people come out to some big crusade. But he wept when he saw the poverty of the Africans. And the Holy Spirit spoke back to him and he said, the poverty that you see physically is the poverty that I see spiritually in America. And I've called you to do something about it. Clendenin was saying, why would you show me such abstract poverty? He says, I've called you to do something about that poverty. And church, we need to realize that that's the calling of God on our lives as well. Amen. To bring about a spiritual renewal or a reformation or a strength or a plan or a... See, you go to a gym and they're going to put you on a plan. You join a football team, they're going to put you on the strength and conditioning program. Amen. They're going to be sprinkling creatine on your steaks and everything else so you grow big and you get strong and you have muscle and you have the strength and endurance to do whatever you need to do playing your position. Amen. That's right. It's no different in the spiritual realm. God is doing things in our life. He doesn't want us to be malnourished. I heard Melissa Griffith say, you know, she could start to see some of the bones on people. We don't want to be showing our rib cages. We want to be fat. She preached about a fattening room. She prophesied that this house in this area, in this region, is a fattening room. You remember that? Amen. From just a week ago? That this place is a spiritual garden. If you're a farmer and you've ever raised cattle, you know that when you send cattle into a new pasture, you better get the high mag mineral out so they don't gorge themselves. But the Bible talks about leading us into greener pastures. Amen. This is an oasis in the desert. Amen. This is a fattening room. This is a place where you can come and get fat. And there's a plan and there's a purpose. And there's a word of God that we can just embrace and obey. And we can grow like never before. Now the Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians. And if you want to turn there with me, please do. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Talking about the food that we eat. Talking about being what we eat. You are what you eat. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, talking about the Israelites in the wilderness, and all passed through the sea, the Red Sea, and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, that was Christ. Amen? So God was feeding them. He was giving them manna. And it was the most interesting passage. I don't have time to go into it all this morning. But the people were belly aching and they murmured against Moses and Aaron, said, please let us go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the flesh pots. It says that in Exodus. We want to go back to the flesh pots. We want to eat from the flesh pots. We want the leeks and the garlic. We want the things that we knew back in the world. And guess what? That comes to all of us and all of our hearts. Anybody ever lust back for the things that you had in the world? And they wanted it so desperately. So God sent, one day He sent quail to them. Quail just flew in and they were able to eat flesh again. And what He did for 40 years in the wilderness, He provided this, what they called manna. And it just grew up out of the dew of the earth, and it was there, and they could collect enough of it to eat that day and be full. And it was a type of the Word of God for every single one of you guys, that you would have this every morning and every night to the fullness, and you would never have to need any other kind of feed. And He fed them for 40 years, this manna from above. Isn't that interesting that God provided for them? The latches of their shoe never even wore out, and God took care of them. He fed them all according to this passage. But look at verse 5 with me. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are written for our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. And they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Man, in their saga after saga in that wilderness of the people, and all they wanted to do was go back and back and back according to their lust, and they wanted to be idolaters and fornicators and tempters. And in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. 11, now all these things happened unto us for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now here's the big one, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Church, in other words, this is for you today. That was all examples. Now you, here's the game plan. Now you guys watch it. Watch fornication with this world. Watch idolatry. Watch murmuring. Watch complaining. And do what you said. Turn off the things of the earth. Amen. Because these things are here to suck you in and to pull you down. It says in 14, my brethren, flee from idolatry, which is living in this world for a whole bunch of other things. In verse 30, we're in John 6, that's our text, and I'm in verse 32. We'll read through 35. John 6, 32, if you want to pick back up. There we are. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In other words, Moses brought to you a temporal meal. For 40 years, he provided a meal for you. He gave you something that would sustain your physical body. He gave you a little protein shake and a little whey protein, a little manna, and he gave you a little NOS blast every once in a while. Every time your flesh cried out for it, he was there to feed you every day. God gave and provided for you to eat something every day. Amen. Are you with me? He gave you something to eat every day of your life. Amen. He's provided for you for that. But he says, I'm giving you something better. I'm giving you the true bread or the real bread that supports life. And it's doctrine and it's word. And the word of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I'm bringing the word of God to life in real time. Jesus is going to walk the earth. Amen. And he's going to be the bread of life. And this is what I want you to eat on from now on. And by the way, you are what you eat. Amen. You are what you eat. I pray to God that we're eating of the Lord. 34. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us this bread. Church, do you really want the bread of life? Do you really want the whole thing? In the days of the Passover, in the book of Exodus, they said, take a lamb, a paschal lamb, and take it. Kill it. Prepare it, roast it with fire, and eat all of the lamb. Put the blood over the lintel of your doorpost, and as the death angel would come by, it's going to kill all the firstborn Egyptians. Talking about the death of all of us being dead in sin. But if you put the blood of the lamb and you eat all of the lamb inside, eat all of it. Don't eat part of it. Don't pick and choose. Don't take this Bible apart and say, I like some of it, but I don't like all of it. I like this, but I don't like chapter 13, 14, or 12. Don't do that. I like most of it, but I don't like Acts 2. I don't like, you know what I'm saying? Amen? I don't like this. You have to eat the whole thing. He says, eat all of it, because it is all prophetic. It was all birthed by God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And they're saying, give us always this bread. Give us. Let's go to verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Now look at this, and I want you to repeat after me some things. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me. Can you repeat that after me? He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me. Let's repeat that too. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Cometh and believeth are continuous action verbs. So what God is saying is that you've got to come and keep coming. Amen? And you've got to believe and keep believing. And as you do this, I'm going to show you who I am. And I'm going to give you sustenance in this life that can fill the hungry desire of your soul. Amen? And it'll satisfy you and give you the strength and the sustenance that only God could give you to help you dominate in this world. Amen? God is saying, eat from me. Eat the bread of life. He says, not only that, in another place, he says, I will give you rivers of living water, which will flow from out of your innermost beings by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rivers of living water, rivers to swim in, rivers to move in, rivers to be so full of the Holy Ghost that you have power. And in 36, they said this, But I said unto you, this is Jesus, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now they had just seen, if we'd read the whole chapter, he has just fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. And they're sitting around him, obviously. He fed 5,000. A lot of people estimate that that was men counted, so that women would have been 10, and obviously children would have multiplied that into the 20s. Probably very easily. And he says, but you're believing not. And he says, you're following me. He knew their heart. And he says, you're following me for sensual motives because you can get a meal out of the deal. You're following me for other reasons. Let's pick up in 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Everybody say, come to me. And him that cometh to me, let's say that again, come to me. I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose none of them or nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. I want you guys to see this. God doesn't want to lose any single one. He's not going to lose any one person that keeps coming to him. Amen. Do you see it? So I'm having you repeat that. He will not lose anyone that will come to him. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And then the Jews began to murmur. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And then Jesus says this. He says, don't murmur among yourself. In 44, we pick back up. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now, this is the Holy Ghost drawing you to him. Amen. This is what he wants. He wants Sam. He wants you coming to him all the time. He wants you coming. And guess what? He's doing the Holy Ghost drawing of you. So you guys are going to meet in the middle. He's saying, come unto me. And he says, all these people that are coming to me, they're going to have everlasting life. Amen? But you got to keep coming. You got to seek God. Where would you find God if you were looking for him in 2017? Where would you find him? Yeah, you'd probably find him at revivals. You'd probably find him at churches. You'd probably find him at a Bible study. You'd probably find him in the middle of a cornfield. Amen? Yep. You'd come. You'd find him under a tree. You'd find him everywhere. But these people that are coming after me, that are coming after Jesus, Jesus is promising eternal life. Now look at this. Church, are you coming to Christ Jesus, by the way? Are you coming to Christ Jesus? Are you always coming in relentless pursuit of Jesus Christ? Is that you today? Are you interested in the things of God? Are you hungering and thirsting after the things of God and not of the things of this world? Amen? Well, let's test your mind. Because the mind, it starts, the battlefield is the mind, and then it goes to the body. And let me be quick here. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind in Ephesians. Right? It says in Romans 12, it says this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your mind has to totally be changed or transfigured or transformed. A transformation takes place as you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. But there's an issue, and I'm going to pick on women for just a second. Men say amen. Oh, you guys were muted on that one. Everybody got pinched or poked right there. How is the mind of the child of God to be actually set free from the enemy's control? How? The quick answer is this. At Calvary. Your mind has to go to Calvary, and I'm going to show you. But there's a practical line of action that you have to take that has to take place. And it deals with control. Now, some people really like to control, right? We like to control because we don't want to get out of control, because out of control is scary, right? So we don't want that at all. But many of you guys may have never taken your mind out of the control of the enemy. Many. Let me give you a proof text. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You should all know it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Some of you guys haven't deliberately handed your mind to the death of the cross and trusted God to give you a new mind. And so our mind is still blinded by the cares of this life and the things of this world, and we're not really living in peace at all because our mind is still caught up in this world, in this hazy world. But when our mind is renewed, the Spirit of God fulfills the promises that I will put my law in your heart, and I'll put my law in your mind, and I will write them upon the tablets of your heart. So God wants your mind. Amen? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Has your mind come to the altar and said, God, not my will, not my mind, not my body. I'm not going to control anything anymore. I'm going to let go and let God. He'll save my family. He'll save my children. He'll save my children's children. I'm going to trust in the Lord and believe God. Anybody with me today? Amen?
Amen.
Philippians says, this mind is supposed to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Has your mind come to the cross, men and women, and been left there? This will cause a practical change in every single one of us. Christ's mind was to obey God, right? Even to the death of the cross. Now think about this. Jesus didn't have to go, but Jesus went willingly because it was the mind of his Father. Now, men and women, are you willing to let your mind go to obedience to Jesus Christ, even if it means your death? Even the death of the cross. Do you want a renewed mind? Do you want a transformed mind? Do you want to be transfigured from within? That mind has to go and be exchanged for the mind of Christ, who humbled himself and gave his heart and life. Another scripture in 1 Peter 4:1 says this, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, this mind of Christ that's willing to go and suffer, if need be even to die for God, becomes your armor against all the rudiments of this world and the fiery darts of the wicked one. Your mind, even though it's going to be aimed at by 1,000 archers, can just buffet everything with the shield of faith, and you can stand having perfect peace in storm after storm after storm in life because Jesus Christ has your mind. Amen? Amen. And he's got the situation. What an awesome thing. Has your mind gone to the cross and been set free? If it has, then this will appeal to you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. This is the battle that's going on all the time. Now, how do I break ranks and get back into the flesh? Let's talk about the flesh for a few seconds. When I eat to bless my flesh, Tom, everybody rub your little belly. When I watch TV to bless my flesh, I'll become fleshly. I'll become weak. I'll become not strong. And I'll starve the spirit man. True or false? What you feed grows. What you starve dies. What you feed grows. Amen? What you feed grows. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What you starve dies. Okay, so we want to learn a lesson here. I'll just use me. I will fall into sin just like any other man. Tom, riser, give me an amen. With my head in the lap of a Delilah. Remember Samson and Delilah? He was a mighty man of God. Amen. He was a judge. He moved in great power. He did unbelievable exploits. He was the Hercules of the Old Testament. But guess what? With his head in the lap of a Delilah, what happened? I'm going to give you one scripture, Judges 16:4. We can learn a lot from just one scripture verse. Judges 16:4. And it came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. What does Sorek mean? Well, I looked it up. Sorek means choice, the valley of choice vines. In other words, I'm supposed to be abiding in the vine, aren't we? Hello? We're supposed to abide in the vine, amen? We'll bring forth much fruit. But in this land, the valley of Sorek, there were choice vines everywhere. Wow. Can't do it. Whoa. There's choice vines everywhere in the valley of Sorek, and my golly, look at Delilah. She is a fox. I've never seen one like that before. He had a problem with foreign women. Three times in a row he had a problem with foreign women. We weren't supposed to look outside at foreign women, were we? But look at this. His wife from Timnath, a harlot in Gath, and now Delilah. And the actual word Delilah means this, languishing or delicate. Man, she was delicate. She's beautiful. And this, since I'm in the valley of choice vines everywhere, I choose her. Now this is a mighty man of God. Samson went too far. He did not seek the guidance of God in all of his love affairs. In other words, there was room in Samson's life for him to just go outside of the bounds of his own Christian walk and just to do what he wanted to do at times, right? And he played with his consecration in the valley of Sorek with delicate things. Any of you guys, men or women, ever struggle in the same areas? Delicate things to you will be something different to everybody else. But there's something that you like to get your hands on that will be that can literally take us down. That's why Paul said that we have to be temperate in all things. We have to keep our body under and bring it under subjection. We have to act to keep our body a slave to the spirit man instead of the soulish creature within us. We have to bring it into subjection. Let's be honest this morning. Here we go a little deeper. Men, give me your good ear. If I'm restless and my mind begins to wander, if I'm a bit tired in my flesh from working too much, if I'm loveless and without intimacy with God first and wife second, somebody say amen to make sure you're not asleep. If I've not spent time in prayer or eating the Word of God, if I let the world in through food, television, movies, music, and social media come into my life and rob me of a holy consecration to God, look out. I'm in the valley of choice vines. I'm in a land where there's delicate things everywhere. And my flesh man is starving. And I've not eaten what I should have eaten to be strong. Amen? Are you with me? Let's go to number three. If I let a world culture dictate to me that there's no time to assemble, there's no time to pray, there's no time to disciple, and you get the Word of God choked out of your life, right? Look out, church. Look out, because you're in the valley of choice vines out there, and there's a Delilah that's a delicate thing that's going to show itself to you. Then enter Satan, and in a weakened and unprepared state, with the armor off and the carnal mind in view, and the lust with Delilah's feeding you grapes and Bathsheba showing up on the trellis. Look out, boys. What's going to happen? Are you with me? Anybody with me at all? It's so quiet in here. What I'm saying is you are what you eat. What you feed grows and what you starve dies, right? And we wonder why we struggle in the flesh. I want to talk about this. Intimacy with spouse plays a part. You ready for this one? Buckle up, couples. Men, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Women, say amen.
Amen.
Die for her. Women, please be intimate with your men. Women, men feel comforted. When men feel comforted, they feel loved. That's what intimacy does for men. I learned that from Jimmy Evans. Men, when women feel deeply engaged in love with their man, they feel intimate. Is that true? Amen. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your lack of intimacy. Is that biblical? In other words, always be intimate with one another, except a time where you need to fast and pray. So the devil can't come in. It says Satan right there. It says, so Satan can't come in and blow you up. Everybody listening, straight out of the Bible. You are what you eat, amen? Let's go back to our text and try to finish this out. John 6:48. I love preaching. Amen? Look at this. 6:48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus, the Word of God, was made flesh, dwelt among us, came into this world, went to the cross, was nailed to that cross. And I want you guys to hear the knocks heard around the world. He had to take the nails that you deserved. He had to take the death that you deserved. He had to pour the blood out that should have been expected because of the sins that you committed. Amen. He became a curse so that you could be made free. Jesus Christ went here willingly. He became and laid down His flesh. Now, I want you to get this. He laid down His flesh and brought His flesh to death. Amen? What are we called to do? Bring our flesh and lay our life down as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto Him, which is His reasonable service, which is our reasonable service unto Him. To lay our life down, to bring our bodies and our flesh to the cross and our mind to the cross, to be set free by the power of the blood of Jesus, to bring it all to the cross, that when that resurrection comes out, my God, that God would have a vehicle and a vessel called a Christian on earth that's just like Jesus Christ, because now it's just Christ inside of him and God can do all things with these. That's why we're not supposed to labor for the things that perish in this life and in this world, but labor for the things that give us strength for eternity. Amen? That should be our main focus in this world, the Word of God, the fellowship, the assembly, these things that will get us over the finish line if we'll just eat right. Amen? If we'll just eat. And Jesus is saying, eat, eat, eat. Come and eat. 54. Let's go to 54 in the same passage. Let's go 53. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. Wow. You have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Church, look at this. I want you guys to see something here. 55, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And the Father who's alive will come to live in you, and you shall live by me. And this eating is actually talking about faith and believing. Not talking about a wafer or a host, okay? This is not talking about communion. This is talking about taking on what Jesus did in His death in getting a new body. It's talking about drinking the blood of Jesus and realizing that it is your life's blood, the New Testament of the life of Jesus Christ. And He began to preach these things in the synagogue in verse 59. He taught these things in the church. And here's what's happening. He's preaching to at least 5,000, possibly 20,000, maybe more than that. I don't know. And I would have just asked Jesus right here to stop preaching this, because He's got a pretty good-sized church. I mean, think about it, Troy. You've got 20,000 people in attendance. You've got a pretty good thing going. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey, 10,000 is pretty good, Karen.
Why didn't he stop right here? If he would have just not gone any further, Sam, he could have... I mean, think about the tithe base on 20,000 people. Why didn't he stop, Bobby? Why did he take it further? Why didn't he just be quiet? Because no one could digest such a doctrine as this. No one. He's got 20,000 people, Marty. 60. We're closing this out. We're coming to the end. Many, therefore, of his disciples. Do you notice that? Mark that down in your Bible. Many of Jesus Christ's disciples. They're following Jesus. They're not following any other person. They're following Jesus. It says his disciples. When they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" You see it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, and I'm asking you, does this offend you? Does this offend you? I'm asking every person in this room, does this offend you? It sure offends a lot of people that say they're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they're going to have part in him, and they're going to eat the whole of the lamb, not just pieces, not just a leg. Does this offend you? Are his words grievous unto you and the life that you like to live? 63 says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Word of God that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Do you know the same people that betrayed Jesus were the same people that believed not? Let me ask you this. Are you a believer or a betrayer? Talking about the Word of God now. The believers are dedicated, committed, faithful. And when they hear the Good Shepherd's voice, they know not the voice of a stranger. They go right to the shepherd. But look at this. Now, how do we... Now, we got 20,000 following Jesus, at least 5,000. Look at this. The Good Shepherd is calling. Jesus is calling. Father is doing the drawing. The Holy Ghost is involved to more than 5,000 people. Now, look at 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. So there's no drawing except the Holy Ghost is drawing. In 66, and from that time, many, as in multiplied thousands of his disciples, they went back and they walked with him no more. Number one, they wanted temporal benefits. Number two, they were offended at this gospel. Church, we need to examine ourselves. If this word is grievous to you, you need to examine our hearts before God. Do you want all of the lamb? Every ounce and every piece of it? Do you want it to be preached? Do you want it to be lived out? 67. Jesus says to the 12. He's just gone from 20,000 to 12. Didn't Jesus say, few there be that find it? Didn't we learn about 2 weeks ago that of the four types of soil, three of them of Jesus' disciples are not going to pan out? Only 1/4 are found the good ground and produce some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Look at this. He's down to 12. In 67, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, amen, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. They chose the right Jesus, amen. Peter chose the right Jesus. And Jesus answered, have I not chosen you 12? And he wraps his arms around them. But notice, Jesus chose the ones who were choosing him. Everyone else was offended and went away. And of the 12 now, mind you, he says, one of you is a devil. It's like there's always got to be one in the bunch, right? And God knows it and sees it. And he knows who would believe. But he knew then the 15,000 were not true followers of Jesus. Because he said, I'll lose none of them that you give me, Father. Amazing, church. Amazing. The professing Christian world. 3 million. There was 3 million in Israel. And two people made the promised land. There was a whole wide world, and 8 got on a boat. Right? There wasn't 10 found in Sodom that made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we see the church of his disciples drop from 20,000 to 12 and now 11. And he says, it's you that I have chosen. And they've been chosen because they chose him. They choose him. And they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They just kept coming. It was revealed to them by the Spirit. Is that you this morning? Church, let's continue to eat the Lamb. Let's continue to eat the servings of the portions of the Lamb and trust the Lord. And let's be the believers that just keep coming. Karen, just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming with your hunger. Just keep coming with a thirst. Just keep coming. And I guarantee you that Jesus is going to choose us all. Amen. Stand to your feet.